You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, to John 8, the 8th chapter of John. Everybody say, I'm free.
I'm free.
All right, see, we're free in Christ, and a lot of us don't realize that. A lot of Christians don't realize how free they really are. They think they're still bound to certain things, bound to sin, bound to circumstance, bound to crisis, bound oppressed, under the gun, as it were. You know, these things are happening, nothing we can do about it. And, you know, and often we'll refer to what we call the serenity prayer, which actually the serenity prayer is a good prayer if you take it in context. God grant me the serenity to accept things I cannot change. There's a lot of things you can't change. Can't change the color of your skin. Can't change where you're born or when you're born. And we do accept that. God grant me the serenity to accept things I cannot change. But the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Praise God.
Are you with me? So we ought to have courage to change the things that we can. And in Christianity, I believe there's a lot of things that we have the ability to change that we don't have the courage to change. We don't know we can change. Because we don't have the wisdom to know the difference between what's happening. You can't change persecution. You can't change people not liking you that because you stand up for Jesus. They that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's just the way it is, and you might as well deal with that.
Yes.
You can't change that. If you make a stand for Jesus, there's going to be people who don't like you. You can't change that. Hello. You're married? You can't change that.
That's right.
Hello. But there's some things you can change in that marriage. You change your approach, the way you look at your wife and your husband and so on, what you say and so on and so forth. And you need, yeah, I know.
Amen.
Yeah, you need courage to change the things you can and then the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, you know, in life, we've been set free from a lot of things. We're still in bondage too, if that makes sense. Jesus actually freed us, rescued us, delivered us from things that we're still oppressed by and possessed by and in bondage to and servitude to. And we need to understand what we've been made free from and what this all entailed. You know, when Jesus came down here, we've been teaching on the last few Sundays on who Jesus is, basically the express image of God, the truth of the Word, the full gospel, the full truth in Jesus. We didn't see part of God in Jesus. We saw all of God. He's the express image. He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He didn't show us the good side of God. The Old Testament was the bad side, you know, good cop, bad cop. Jesus showed us God, period, through and through. We have bits and pieces in the Old Testament. And, frankly, we can be very confused if all we have is the Old Testament because we didn't have the full truth until Jesus came. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So if you just delve around that Old Testament all the time and that's your concept of God, it's always going to be a little skewed. It's going to be a little tainted until you get to Jesus because Jesus comes along and gives us the full picture.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
You don't see Him making people sick. You don't see Him starting storms. You don't see Him doing the bad things. He's good all the way through. And so, you know, we look at that and we see, if you look at the whole picture from Genesis to the maps, And it's all about Jesus. If you don't get to Jesus, you really hadn't got the point, because He is the point.
That's right. Praise God.
You know, He didn't bring us a covenant. He is the covenant. He didn't bring us a message. He is the message. You know, He's not just how God speaks. He is God speaking.
Sweet.
So there's a difference between Him and all the prophets and all the writers of the New and the Old Testament. Jesus is God. He was a man, but He's also God. So He comes on the scene here, and it's interesting when He comes on the scene, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, He comes into a world that is not controlled by God. He comes into a world that is oppressed. He comes into a world that's evil. He comes into a world that has a direct, immediate opposition. He comes right off the bat in His ministry, casting out devils and healing the sick and raising the dead and stopping storms. He is coming and taking over enemy territory. See, the idea that God's in control of everything is a foreign concept to the Bible. What the Bible tells us is the world fell in sin. And then through sin came death. And the devil is called the god of this world. He's called the prince of the ruler of the air. Jesus Himself said that. And we fight against not flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. That's what He came to do. And so most of what goes on the earth is not God. That's why we're here. That's what the church is about, to correct and fix and mend and expand the kingdom of God. Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God. Are you with me? Because it hadn't been being preached. That wasn't going on in the world. God wasn't meticulously controlling everything in the earth. The earth was in sin and rebellion, and the head rebel being the devil, and the next one being Adam. It caused the whole world to fall into death and destruction and disease and all those things. And truth be known, it still hasn't been restored completely. It starts with us, and eventually, one day, the earth will be restored in what we call the new heaven and the new earth. But Jesus came down into a war zone, really. And there's a war going on right now, and you and I must war a good warfare. We must endure hardness as good soldiers, and we must fight the good fight of faith. And we must beware our adversary, the enemy, the devil who walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We must submit ourselves to God and resist the devil.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So Jesus came down here. Here we are celebrating, you know, freedom for our nation. But he came down to set us free because we were in bondage. He came down to rescue and deliver us because we were oppressed and in slavery and servitude to sin and the devil. That's why Jesus came. And everybody was held when they died. Everybody was held down. They couldn't go to heaven. No one was released to go to heaven until Jesus rose from the dead. When Jesus rose from the dead, he took the keys of hell and death from the devil. He triumphed over him, the Bible says, and made a show of him openly in the corridors of hell, if you can imagine somehow, some way. He publicly showed that to the devils in hell and to the fallen angels, whatever. He marched down the corridors of hell. He made a show, a triumphant show of him openly. I have the keys of hell and death. I have won over the devil. I have conquered hell, death, and the grave and rose victorious. Hello.
Praise God.
And he sat down on the right hand of God.
Yeah.
Woo. Think about it. There was a battle that went on. We're free today because Jesus won a victory for us 2,000 years ago. Beat the devil in his own game. Hallelujah. Well, now we're advancing the kingdom. There's opposition. There are the gates of hell, as Herb mentioned, that really are just in defense mode. They're not attacking us. We're attacking them. And the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of God. Nobody attacks with gates. You don't see an army advancing with the gates. No, gates are holding back. The devil knows he has but a short time. He knows he's in trouble. He knows if you find out who you are and I find out who I am, that he will not be able to defend himself and hold these captives, these lost, undone, hopeless, helpless people, sick and diseased and depressed. He won't be able to keep them oppressed because the gates won't hold us back. He can't defend against us if we find out who we are.
Yes.
Amen.
Are you out there?
Yes.
Amen.
Jesus set us free. I love that. John 8, and that's what it says in John 8 chapter. You found it? I'm just going to jump over a few verses here and, of course, quote a lot more. But it says here in John 8 chapter, Jesus speaking in the 36th verse, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." I believe that. How about you?
Yes.
I believe the Son has made me free. I don't believe I'm to be in bondage to anything. I don't believe I should be oppressed by anything. I believe if I fall and slip on the floor, I should come against that in Jesus' name and say I'm healed. And just like Herb and Jan were talking about. We should not put up with things that we've been set free from. Now, granted, you're going to have to fight. Sometimes it doesn't look any different, you know, when you first start, first confess, and first pray, and first believe. But, you know, you still fight. You still fight. Fight depression. Don't accept it. Don't receive it. Don't think it's just genetic. It's just the way you are, and it's in your family, and, you know, hey. You know, your daddy fought it, you're going to have to fight it. Your daddy had it, and you're going to have it. You don't have to have it. You can fight it.
Amen.
You can fight. You can fight. You can believe. You can stand on the Word. Hallelujah.
Right.
Jesus came to set me free.
That's right.
Some sin that just keeps cropping back up in your life, and you keep committing that sin, and you keep coming back and asking forgiveness. Well, thank God. God will forgive you, no question. But God wants to set you free from your sin, not just from the consequence of your sin. The Bible says that they called him Jesus because he came to save his people from their sins. It didn't say to save them from the consequence or the penalty of their sins. He did that, yes, we're not going to hell, but he came to save us from our sins.
Amen.
Go read Romans the 6th chapter, man. We've died to that old life, and he that's dead is freed from sin.
Amen.
free to serve God now. I can love. I can forgive. I can live holy. I don't have to do this thing over and over and over and over. I've been set free. Hallelujah. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Well, I'm just going to have to do this the rest of my life. It's my cross to bear. First of all, that has nothing to do with the cross. Well, it's my thorn in the flesh. No, it has nothing to do with Paul's thorn. Hello. That's just sin, and you can overcome it. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I'm so glad y'all are so excited this morning to hear that you're free. Sorry to inform you, the gate's open. What are you doing in the prison? Come on out. Well, he says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Now, did Jesus make us free? I believe he did. And I believe I'm free indeed. In fact, the context of this really is free from sin. I love that. I'm free from sin. I'm free to serve. Free to serve God. Turn over to Colossians 1. This is something you see all through the Scripture. I think sometimes we get confused. We almost get the idea that God's putting something on us and then God's going to take it off of us. And God beats us around and then we go to Him to get healed up. And God makes us sick and then we... You know, God's not schizophrenic, okay? He's not bipolar. He's not moody, okay? When we get healed, we're getting healed from something the devil did.
That's right.
Not something God did. And I know everybody doesn't like to talk about the devil, and that's just so primitive, you know, and so barbaric to talk about the devil. Well, just call me a barbarian and call me primitive. That's what Jesus did. He talked about the devil. Actually, we know more about the devil from Jesus' teaching than anybody in the Bible.
That's right.
Jesus gave us the revelation of who he was and what he did, and then it carries on into the New Testament over and over and over. You cannot read the New Testament objectively and not see that we have an enemy. We have an enemy here, and it's not God. And that the world lies in wickedness. It's not under God's hand or control. It's in rebellion to God. And that's the answer to the evil in the world and the corruption in the world. Good God, evil world. God's not doing it because the world is in rebellion to God. Are you out there? And we're here to make a difference. Amen?
Yes.
Colossians 1st chapter. Notice what it says. Where do I start? I want to start in Genesis 1. Get it all in context.
Amen.
Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks to the Father which has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Somebody.
Yes.
Well, I'm just so unworthy. Well, no, he says he qualified us. Well, I wish I could. Well, you can. Because he qualified you to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. You can partake of it, not just think about it, talk about it, you know, discuss it and teach on it, preach on it, but you can partake of the inheritance. And notice what he says in the next verse, 13th verse, he has delivered us from, this is part of the inheritance that he has given to us. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us or translated us into the kingdom of God's dear Son, or the Son of His love.
Amen.
See, we have swapped kingdoms. We have been taken out from under one kingdom and placed into another. We've been delivered. Actually, one translation says rescued. Another one says he's delivered us from the authority, dominion. Another translation says dominion, a tyranny. Another one says tyranny. The tyranny of the devil. He was a tyrannical megalomaniac. Still is. Are you with me? And we've been delivered from him, praise God, and from the control. One translation says control. Thank God we are not under the control of the devil.
Yes.
The devil made me do it. No, he didn't.
No,
no, no, no, no. No. You don't have to do that. You don't have to yield to that sin. You don't have to yield to that attack. Whatever that attack may be, sickness, disease, whatever the case may be. We're not under his control. Now, we do live in the world, but we're not of the world.
That's right.
And so when those things happen, they do happen. We are attacked. We know that because we have an enemy. Mm-hmm. The good news is we can stand up and fight instead of lay down and die.
Amen.
The problem is we don't always know that, so we lay down and die in many cases. And we accept and endure things that we're supposed to be overcoming and conquering. I believe you should endure what you're supposed to endure. You endure affliction in the sense of persecution and tribulation. We endure that. We endure hardness as a good soldier. But you're not supposed to endure depression. endure sickness, endure hell. You've overcome hell.
Amen.
Woohoo!
Amen.
Man, I'm excited. Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
Oh, come on, man. I'm loving it. Yeah, come on, give me some more. Stand up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Y'all need some handkerchiefs. You can stand up and just wave me on. Okay. So, I've been delivered, rescued. Love that one. That's really a good word, too, because really we were in bondage before Jesus came. But Jesus has come, and you have accepted Him. So you've been rescued and you've been delivered from what? From the power of darkness, from the devil.
Yes.
From the tyranny of the devil, from the control of demonic powers.
That's right.
Oh, I used to be under that. See, before you got saved, it wasn't God working in your life. It was the devil working in your life. Well, God took me through this and God took me through. God didn't take you through any of that. You know, God put me through all that so I could minister to those that were in that. No, are you kidding me? You went through that, and the devil put you through that. God delivered you so you could go minister to others.
Wow. Yeah. Amen.
Well, if I hadn't lived that life, I couldn't minister to these people over here in the same thing. Well, true that. God did turn it around, no question, but He didn't put you through that so you could minister. The devil put you through that to kill you. He was rolling the dice and hoping you'd never call on God so He could kill you and take you to hell. And thank God you call on Jesus and He delivered you from that.
Hallelujah.
And now God turned all that around, and He can bring good out of evil, sure, but He didn't do the evil.
That's right. Amen.
He rescued you from that. He delivered you from that. He set you free from that. That was bondage. That was oppression. That was not God. That was the enemy, the power of darkness, which the whole world lies in, incidentally. Come on. I mean, you know, the Bible says in the last days, people give heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devil. Says they'll grow worse and worse. We see that happening. There's more people going to hell than going to heaven. I'm not preaching doom, gloom, destruction. I'm preaching victory over the devil. I'm preaching that you have power over sin, but we must recognize first that there's a problem in the earth.
Amen.
And it's not God, and we're here to fix it. That's why we didn't just go to heaven when we died. He left us here to advance His kingdom.
Yes, sir.
Because we are the body of Christ, members in particular.
Amen.
And He delivered us. He rescued us. He took us out from under the authority of the devil, out from under the dominion of the devil, out from under the control of the devil, and translated us and conveyed us and placed us into the kingdom of God's dear Son.
Yes, sir.
Man, I've been set free.
Amen.
And whom the Son makes free is free
indeed.
Hallelujah. Woo! I am free. And we celebrate that. Yeah. Rightly so. Amen. In fact, turn over to Acts 26. This is Paul speaking. I tell you, this will clear up a lot of stuff in your thinking, too. I mean, if you get the big picture, if you get the picture right. You know, our overall picture sometimes is wrong about the world and the way it exists and operates. And so you got people blaming God for what the devil does and people blaming the devil for what God does. I mean, it's just all messed up. And you got people don't even believe in the devil, you know, and don't even believe he's out there. Well, I'm sorry. The Bible talks about the devil. He is out there.
Yes.
He's no one you need to fear, but you do need to be aware and sober concerning him. He is an adversary. He is subtle. He is a deceiver. But good news is, the truth, if you have the truth, you can overcome the devil every time.
Yeah.
Amen? But you have to be aware of that. You have to be conscious of that. We are in a war zone. We're not in heaven. The idea that we're in heaven is just foreign to the Scripture. We're not in heaven. We're advancing heaven. We're advancing the kingdom. We're not going to be in heaven until we die. Are you with
me?
And the new earth and new heavens is later. That's after, goodness, that's Revelation chapter 21. That's after the 1,000-year reign of Christ. That's after the rapture, the 7-year tribulation, 1,000-year reign of Christ. Then there's a new heaven and a new earth. So right now, we got a responsibility. We are an army of the Lord. We're soldiers of the Lord. We are to fight. There's a war going on for your soul. There's a war going on for your marriage. There's a war going on for your family. There's a war going on for the church and for our country. And for the things that we hold dear, the things that God says are right and just and holy, there is a war going on for that, and you and I must stand.
Yeah.
And if we stand and fight, we will win.
Amen.
But we can't lay down. We've got to stand up. We've got to pray. We've got to believe. We can't just be nonchalant about it. I mean, we have to really trust God and believe the Scripture, be quick to pray. Amen? But good news is we win. This is not a negative thing at all. In any sense or form or fashion, it's very positive. We have been set free. We've been delivered. The world out there is still in oppression. We have been rescued. That's what we celebrate as Christians, is the fact that we're saved. Our sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. We're in a new kingdom. And we preach the kingdom of God. And you and I are kings and lords. Because Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's not the King of slaves. He's not the Lord of servants. He's the King of kings and He's the Lord of lords. And our God has made us kings and priests unto our God. And we need to, as kings, rule and reign. And root out the devil everywhere we find him.
Yes.
Root out hatred. Root out unforgiveness. Are you with me? Root out sickness and disease. Root out... Are you with me? That's what we're for. We're advancing. We need to advance. See? Advance in our family. Claim our families. And pray over our families. And pray over our city. Acts 26. Found it?
Yes.
Paul is reciting... to King Agrippa, he's reciting his account of where he had an appearance, Acts the ninth chapter, you know, when he was on his way to Damascus and to persecute Christians. He had a vision and Jesus appeared to him. And he's recounting that. The original account was Acts 9. That was his experience when he met the Lord and subsequently was saved and filled with the Holy Ghost right after that. But he's recounting this to him, to the king. Paul right now is in prison at this point, on his way to Rome. Eventually, initially goes to Rome. And he's given this account. And he says in the 14th verse, "And when we all had fallen to the ground," in other words, they'd seen a great light, "and we'd all fallen to the ground," 26:14, "I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Is it hard for you to kick against the goads or pricks or points or thorns?'" If you could think of it that way. It'd be like you get mad and start kicking, you know, a thorn. Hello. Kind of like you run into the door and you start kicking it. That really helps, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Break your toes, what you do. I mean, so he's beating himself when he's trying to beat up against Jesus. You can't. Amen. And so he asked me, he said, "Why are you doing this?" And he said, 15th verse, "Lord, who are you?" And he said, "I am Jesus." I like that. "Whom you are persecuting." Well, no, he wasn't persecuting Jesus, he was persecuting people.
Yeah.
But see, you do it to God's people, you're doing it to God.
Yeah.
Amen? And God will defend you and me. Okay, we're not alone in this deal. So when they talk against you, they're just talking against him. If they did it to the master, they're going to do it to you. But God takes it to account. He knows. He's there. He sees. And he says, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting," in the 16th verse, "but rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will reveal to you." Speaking of revealing, I'm going to have to put my glasses on her. So I quit quoting this and actually read it. "I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you." I love that. God does deliver ministers from the people He sends them to. Just a thought. Every pastor ought to be delivered from their congregation. That's a good thing. I don't mean it's a bad thing. I mean, I don't need to be controlled and swayed and hurt and so on. I need to be delivered from whom I minister to. You should be delivered from whom you minister to. Some reject, some accept, some go for it, some don't. Some say good, some say bad. But you know, God delivers you from who He sends you to. That's better preaching you are amen in, but anyway. You're not, your peace and your joy and your contempt and your purpose in life is not contingent on how people respond to you. It's contingent on whether you're obeying God or not. That's what it boils down to. You're not cold and callous, you do care, but... you know, ultimately, God gives you peace and He gives you contentment. Some people respond, some won't. My peace comes from God. Amen?
Amen.
It says in the 18th verse, "to open their eyes," the people that He sends you to, "in order to turn them," Everybody say turn.
Turn.
Okay. Turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Jesus came to turn us from darkness to light. He came to deliver us from the power of Satan to God. Yes. Now, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. Amen. And He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So I, as a Christian, have been delivered Amen. From that old devil.
Yes.
He's not someone I need to worry about. He's not someone I need to be afraid of. Although in the movies, the priest always gets beat up, you know, by the devil. But that's movies. That's movies. In real life, we win. Confrontation between us and the devil and demons, we win. We win. There's nothing to be afraid of there because we've been delivered from their power. They don't have power over us anymore. Are you out there? And there again, in many different translations where it says power of Satan to God, it says authority of Satan or dominion of Satan or Satan's control. I like that. We mentioned that earlier in Colossians 1:13. I am not under Satan's control. The devil did not make you do that. You know, you need to get over that. You got power over the devil. Mm-hmm. I'm always amazed that when someone has a bad day, you know, and they come in and start griping and, you know, not real nice. You ever been there? Here's how we apologize. We never really apologize. We say, oh, I'm sorry, I was having a bad day. Like, I got to give you an excuse. Not just I'm sorry, no excuse. I'm sorry, I was tired. I'm sorry, I was having a bad day.
Wow.
We never say, when someone says thank you for something good we do, we never say, oh, really, it wasn't me. I was on top of the world that day.
Wow.
You ever notice we take full credit for all thanks? We make excuses for every sin.
Wow.
Oh, it's getting quiet in here. Man, it's getting quiet in here. You ever done that? Ah, man, I don't know why I said that. I was just tired. I'm sorry. I was just tired. I'm sorry. Whoa, wait, whoa, whoa. You did it. You said it. Repent.
Amen.
There was no excuse for that. I'm sorry I said that. Because what you're telling me is you were under the power of a bad day. You were under the dominion of a bad day. You are being controlled under the authority of the spirit of this world. Well, no, Jesus delivered us from the power of Satan.
Praise God.
From the control of Satan.
Yes.
Now, are you a little gripey and snappy when you're tired? Yeah, you can be. You can be, but it's still your fault.
That's right. Man.
Okay, all right, just a thought. Okay. You were getting all stirred up about all this authority you have, and now we got let back down again. Yeah, now we got to use it. That's what we're saying. We've got to use this authority. We've got to overcome these things in our life. We've got to say, no, I'm not under that power anymore. I'm not under that power. I'm going to have to work on that. All that does is reveal. It doesn't. See, circumstances and bad days, and they don't necessarily define us. They reveal us. They reveal something we need to work on, something we need to overcome. If we'd overcome that, no bad day would make that come out.
Yeah.
C.S. Lewis talks about rats in the cellar. He says if you go into a cellar and make a bunch of noise and, you know, beat on the door and open up the door and turn the light on, you don't see any rats. He said, but if you sneak down there, you ease that door, flip that light open, those rats are all over the place because you don't give them time to hide. He says, now, if there's no rats in the cellar, it doesn't matter how quick you go in there. They won't reveal them. They're not there. So if a bad day can bring out a few rats, it's because you got a few rats. You need to get...
Wow.
Oh, no. Now he's meddling now. He quit preaching and got to meddling. See, Jesus said he set us free. Now we need to get a hold of this. Are you out there?
Yeah.
When you get rid of them rats, because he set us free from the rats. I don't know why you're petting that rat and why you're feeding that thing. Wow. Get rid of it. You've been set free from the rats. Okay. He came to open our eyes, to turn us from darkness to light. Hallelujah. and from the power of Satan to God, that we may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance, hallelujah, an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't that good? Galatians, turn to Galatians 1. I got a couple more scriptures I want to go to. This helping you? Hey, think about it. I mean, here we are. We're going to pop some firecrackers tonight and tomorrow night and have a big time, celebrate our freedom. Well, we're free in Christ. Let's celebrate our freedom in Christ. Hallelujah. Man, hallelujah. I don't have to go to hell. I don't have to live in hell. I don't have to put up with hell. I don't have to put up with the devil. Praise God, I've been set free. You know, this is interesting how Paul starts out here in Galatians, and he just pins it. First few verses here, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor from through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. Boy, that's something you see all through the Scripture. Raised him from the dead. Raised him from the dead. That's just all through there. Paul never writes without talking about Jesus being raised from the dead. I don't care what he's writing or who he's writing to. Or he talks about God raised him from the dead. They actually thought in the book of Acts, one place, they thought they preached two gods. One was Jesus and the other one was the resurrection. Really, I mean, it's because they talk so much about the resurrection. As a thought that was almost another god, the lost people did, the Roman Empire. Because Paul talks about it over and over and over. Jesus is alive, hallelujah. He's risen from the dead. See, that's our point of victory. That was the battle won right there. It's when he rose from the dead. We were delivered right then from the power of darkness. Right then we were turned from darkness to light. Right then we were translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Jesus came up victorious, took away the keys of hell and death, stood up and said, I have conquered hell, death, and the grave. And now he's washed our sins away and forgiven us and made us kings and priests unto our God. And he says this, he raised him from the dead, and to all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you, peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. Yes. It didn't take a lot of snap to figure out we're living in an evil age. We're living in a corrupt age. We're living in a blasphemous age. We're living in a dark age. It's on TV. It's all around us. It's just unbelievable what goes on in the world, the things that we hear about. Mama's drowning their babies and killing their kids, and it's all over the news. We follow the trials, and you think, how could this be? Burning Bibles, are you with me? Blaspheming God and the rise of the Muslim world and the preference we give to the Muslim faith and how we disdain the Christian faith publicly. We're living in a very evil world. But I got good news. Jesus has delivered us from this present evil age. I may be in it, but I'm delivered from it. I may be in it, and it may be evil, but praise God, it's not going to touch me. Not the smell of smoke's going to be on me or my family, because I have been delivered from this present evil age. Hallelujah. Woo! Amen. Are you with me? I am free. I'm celebrating my freedom. I will not forget what Jesus did 2,000 years ago in turning me from darkness to light. Hebrews 2. Can I give you a couple more verses? Amen. Everybody say, I'm free.
I'm free.
All right. Whom the Son makes free or sets free is free indeed. Amen. I'm not a little free. I'm all free. I'm free, free. I'm not in bondage. I'm not oppressed. I'm not possessed. And speaking of when Jesus came, it says here in the second chapter of Hebrews, I love Hebrews because that man makes coffee, Hebrews. Well, I'll start a coffee shop and call it Hebrews or Jehovah Java. That'd be a good one. Or Holy Grounds. Okay. All right, just seeing if you're out there. Okay. Second chapter of Hebrews, 14th verse. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, that's us, we have taken of flesh and blood, we're in a body, we came in this world, he himself, Jesus, likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release or deliver us or rescue us, those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Praise God, we're not subject to bondage anymore. Praise God, we don't even have to fear death because we know there's something on the other side. Something better's coming. Hallelujah. Even death to us is a doorway. You know, it may be an enemy. Yeah, there's a coming a day when no one ever die. But even when we die, we will go to heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. So we don't fear death. But he came. What did Jesus come to do? He came to deliver us. He came to destroy him who had the power of death. You know, I think it's significant. You know, the first prophecy of Jesus coming is in the garden when Adam and Eve had sinned. And God talks about what's going to happen to Adam, what's going to happen to Eve. And he tells the serpent, symbolic of the devil, he said, "And the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent." Crush it. Bruise it. Paul even takes off on that in Romans 16:20, and he says, God shall shortly crush Satan's head. Shall shortly crush Satan's head through you. In Romans 16:20, which it was interesting. He was talking about that same prophecy. So that serpent was symbolic of the devil, no doubt about it. And so Jesus came to a world that was ruled by the devil and sin. And he came and he conquered. He came on enemy territory as God's emissary, as God himself, God in flesh. And he took on flesh and blood, and he came down here and he destroyed the devil. He came to destroy the works of the devil, hallelujah, and to deliver us, who through all of our lifetime were subject to bondage through fear of death. Well, now you don't have to fear death. You've been delivered from fear.
Yes.
Isn't that good?
Yes.
I've been rescued from it because it brings you in bondage. Fear brings bondage and oppression. Well, the tyranny and the control of fear no longer for us anymore. We're out from under that because of what Jesus did. And he says this, release them. Hallelujah. I love that. Deliver them, release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. This is what Jesus came to do. And of course, if you have time, and you know I don't have time today, we can just go on and on. You ought to read Romans the 6th chapter. It talks about being free from sin. I ought to read John 8. I just read one verse there, but if you back up a little bit, 31st verse says, "You continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. You know the truth, and the truth will make you free." I love that. So if you want to stay free, you need to continue in the word, because the truth is what makes us free. Free from lies, free from deception, free from the devil, free from his power, free from oppression. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, it's our Independence Day. It's been Independence Day for us, or Interdependence Day. We've been depending on God. Interdependence Day for 2,000 years. 2,000 years ago, we were set free through the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, we got the power, not the devil. Right now, it's been turned around. He's under our foot. He's placed all things under his feet. Made him the head over the church, which is the fullness of him. The body of Christ, which filleth all in all.
Amen.
So if you've got a message for the devil, write it on the bottom of your shoe.
Amen.
That's where he is. Amen?
Amen.
So start exercising some authority. Start praying. Start believing. Start standing on the word. And walk in this freedom that you and I have been given in Christ Jesus. We are free. Hallelujah.
Amen.